You're listening to Trek FM.
Want to join in the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode? Join the Babel Conference, our listeners' discussion group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field, and we look forward to seeing you there.
This is Steve Sansweet of Rancho Obi-Wan, and you're listening to the 602 Club.
Hello and welcome to TFM's local watering hole, and I am just one of your hosts, Matthew Rushing. So excited to be coming at you from, we can't really tell you who we are or why we're here, but I already gave that away. At least my co-host, as always, Christy Morris. Hey, Christy, how is it going?
Good. So glad to be back and to do something just because it sounded like fun. And I think we're both very qualified to review this movie, seeing as we're both married.
Yes. Yes. You're still alive?
Yes. Clearly you are too. We made it this far.
Yes.
At least.
Yes, we have. We have not shot one another. Well, we are going to be diving into 2005's Mr. and Mrs. Smith, starring none other than Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Before we do that, though, thanks for listening. We're so excited that you're here. If you want to do something to help out the show, of course, you can give us a star rating review over on Apple Podcasts. We'd really appreciate that. And subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll get the episodes as soon as they drop. You can also find us all over social media. We're on X, Twitter, at the 602 Club. We're on Instagram at the 602 Club TFM. You can also find us over on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. We've got the listeners only discussion group you can join on Facebook called Babel Conference. And of course, you could find the entire network over online at TrekFM. We'd really appreciate it as well if you would go over to Patreon at patreon.com/TrekFM. Help the network. Make sure that each and every episode can keep coming to you. As many as we can get out. We need help from listeners just like you to make sure that this network doesn't have to close its doors. And because that's the only way this happens is from listeners just like you. So go to Patreon at patreon.com/TrekFM and become part of the team. So, Christy, one thing, before we even get into anything else, I did wonder when it was that you kind of found this movie. Was it when it came out, or was this a movie that you caught later, or, you know, when did you come across this film?
I was probably the primary demographic for this film, seeing as it came out in my junior year of high school, and I definitely saw it as soon as it came out in the theater. So I was one of the screaming high school girls going to see Brad Pitt on the movie screen.
Nice. Nice. That's understandable. That's understandable.
What about you?
You know, I'm pretty sure that, I'm definitely older than you. And so I am pretty sure that I saw this movie in the theater as well. I don't have any recollections necessarily of seeing it in the theater in the sense of, you know, who I was going with or anything like that. But, you know, this is clearly a place and a time when, you know, I'm going to see a lot of movies, and a movie starring Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt would definitely be a movie that I was interested in seeing, and, you know, would have been like, okay, no, this is I'm going to see this. So
making time for that one.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, at this point, you know, they're kind of both at the top of their game, which, you know, I think it's a really interesting thing, because I was looking from behind the scenes stuff before we were recording and doing a little bit of research, just because I hadn't really done any on this film before to kind of see its genesis or anything like that. And one of the things that I was really struck by here was this idea that, you know, they had cast Brad Pitt. They had secured Brad Pitt, and he was supposed to star in this with Nicole Kidman. And then she had to drop out for the Stepford Wives because of the scheduling conflict with that film. So, first, I want to ask you, Does this movie work if it's Nicole Kidman and Brad Pitt? Do you feel like it's going to be the same? And if it's not the same, do you feel like it could still work if, you know, she is opposite him in this movie?
I don't know. I feel like there's things I've seen Nicole Kidman in that she could definitely hold her own. I mean, she's an incredible actress, no doubt about it. I just do think that there's something special you get specifically bringing in Angelina Jolie in this role with him, that you can't have with anybody else. I just feel like with Kidman, if you think of something like Eyes Wide Shut or like Practical Magic, she definitely had that like sexuality and more like mysterious allure and stuff to her. But I don't know. I just couldn't see her doing as well as Angelina did with this.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've alluded to something that's obviously interesting, is I think that this movie is very much built on the idea that these two incredibly good-looking people are married to one another, and then they find out that they're both hitmen and have to go after one another. And, you know, comedy and mayhem ensue.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question of, like, can Nicole Kidman do that? You know, I think that she absolutely can. I think that I don't know if, you know, she's able to, you know, pull this off, I think, as well as somebody like Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. So with the fact that, you know, they lost the co-star, they began considering other teams. And so Will Smith and Catherine Zeta-Jones, Johnny Depp, Kate Blanchett, Gwyneth Paltrow, Gwen Stefani were all kind of considered. And do any of those actors paired together seem like that they would have kind of given you, you know, something akin, I guess, to even what we get? Or could be like, oh, I could see it. It's going to be different, but I know that could totally work.
I would say the only one out of all of those that could work to me is Catherine Zeta-Jones as Jane. Because I think of the same reason I feel like Nicole Kidman doesn't work. All the others, women, as far as playing Jane, I think you need a combination of that feminine as well as ability to go into assassin mode and be convincing as somebody that's a spy, an assassin, all of those kind of things, and have that toughness. I think that Paltrow and Stefani wouldn't be able to pull that off as well as Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah.
Also because of movies like Entrapment.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, totally awesome. So I feel like she and Angelina Jolie are really known for that more assassin piece of the character and easily meld into this. But would Catherine have the same chemistry with Pitt as Angelina does? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and the question here is, like, Pitt dropped from the film, so they're kind of looking for a new pairing. So, you know, I think
Will Smith, I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Too silly.
Yeah. Now, the thing about Will Smith is that I think that he could do it. You know, it is interesting to me because the idea of him, you know, we've seen him in more serious roles. We've definitely seen him with the ability to, you know, be a little bit harder edged, which I think all of that, you know, is definitely something that works for this type of character. I think he could have done it. You know, I also think that, you know, I don't think Johnny Depp would have been right for this.
No.
And I'm I agree with what you said about Stefani and Paltrow. I don't think either of them is really right for this. But of the females mentioned there, Cate Blanchett, I think, and Catherine Zeta-Jones are the ones that they offer two kind of different things. I think Catherine Zeta-Jones in some ways is a little bit closer, maybe, to Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways. And then Cate Blanchett is closer to Jolie in some ways. Neither is a one for one. And yet, when I think of both of them, I think that they could both do something interesting and you know, make this interesting. And for very different reasons. I think partly is Cate Blanchett has played so many different types of roles, and I feel like she can do a good job of just kind of becoming a chameleon and blending in. I think she has, you know, the understated sexiness nature that you were talking about, where it's kind of she flies under the radar sometimes with that type of thing, but I think she can do that really well. At the same time, you know, she's definitely somebody I would believe can be hard-edged, because I've seen plenty of things where she's playing that type of character. So, yeah. And yet, thankfully, you know, they were able to get Jolie to sign, and Pitt rejoins the cast, and they come back together. And so we've kind of talked about, you know, the reasons we didn't think that other characters, the other people wouldn't really work in this. But what do you think makes this work about them? What about these two paired together makes it work?
So I did really think about this before we started talking, because there is something that is special about each of them that I do feel like you can't get with anybody else playing these characters. With Pitt, I think that it's being able to show that softer side sometimes, of like, he seems to maybe be the person that has more give in their give and take relationship. You know, he's the first one, for example, when they're aiming their guns at each other, that finally says, "I can't do it. If you want to take the shot at me, go ahead." And he's the first one as well when they're in the car and things seem really tense in the minivan, that is singing that song, "Making Love Out of Nothing at All." You know, just seems to be a little bit more of the emotion forward person out of the two of them. And I think he plays that so well, but that can then can also play that sarcastic guy who is just trying to get back at her. So I think that probably a lot of male viewers could identify with him in any of these settings as being in those same shoes, whether you're married or not. But especially, I think, even me as the woman sometimes, when he's in therapy and he says, "I love my wife. I want her to be happy. I want good things for her. But sometimes..." I think every married person has thought that about their spouse at some point. So he's relatable.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think you've absolutely nailed that in many ways. And so, you know, one of the things I think it makes them work is that what they do when it comes to the sense of cool, calm, and collectedness to them is effortless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I do think that that comes from, you know, the roles that they're inhabiting, is that they are completely confident in who they are, what they do, and how they look, mm-hmm. and utilizing that to their advantage in every single way in the job that they have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the thing that they, and both of them as people, just seem to have that in general. Right. You know, and in some ways it almost feels like these characters are extensions of a part of their personality. And that's something that also helps in a film when an actor can really, you know, relate to the character they're playing in that sense.
Yeah.
And something else that, as you were talking, I was just thinking of what helps in this is that, like you said, you picked up on the fact that Pitt becomes the character who is more readily available emotionally. But I think the beauty of this is watching Jolie try and be what she thinks she has to be in this role and not give in to her emotion, and that struggle, right? Because she's a woman in a man's world, right? Kind of job, right? With she's this hitman thing, you know, like, I don't mean that sexistly, but I'm just meaning the struggle that women feel to be in a job where they feel like they're always going to have to be proving themselves because people would maybe automatically assume, oh, well, that just seems like a dude job, you know, like in that way. And I think she plays that very well, where she doesn't want to give in to the emotion that she actually does have because she thinks it makes her feel weak, or she thinks that people will see her as weak,
right?
You know, and so I think that's the thing that really makes both of them work in this film. And I think that's one of the things where this movie probably really doesn't work without these two people playing these roles, because there are very few people in Hollywood that can do this and make it feel effortless.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think part of that is just everything about them, from the way that they look to the way that they carry themselves in real life, which translates then to what they're doing here on screen with these characters, and the, you know, kind of emotion that they're able to kind of pour into these characters as well. I think that's the thing that kind of makes this work in that sense. And I also think it's the thing that makes the movie work when it comes to their dysfunctional relationship. Like, you know, this is a movie that for all of its trappings, it really is a marriage story. And, you know, There's a line in the film where Vince Vaughn's character talks about how, you know, things like passion and heat, they kind of fade. And what really makes something last in a relationship and in a marriage is friendship, you know, really knowing one another. And it rewatching this movie, it's been a very long time since I've seen it. So to rewatch this movie and be kind of struck with that this movie really is kind of about what makes a marriage actually last and what makes it fall apart. And I was just really pleasantly surprised to be reminded of, no, this is a movie that's really is kind of about exploring, okay, what does it take to make a marriage last and what makes it fall apart?
Mm-hmm. And in some ways, it's about the everyday stuff like that. And then, of course, also the completely unrelatable side of, you know, being two assassins that were hired to kill each other. But yeah, I mean, I love that you said that, because that's the core of what drives this whole thing and makes it a successful story, is showing that there are these moments where they're realizing they don't know the person that they've been living with and married to for this long. And then also the beauty in getting to know each other again, of, you know, that moment I'm thinking of when they're on the floor in the house and everything is torn apart and they're just talking. And she says, I can't feel anything in these three fingers. Or, you know, he says, what about that one night? And she's like, oh, percussion grenades. I was partially deaf that night. So it's those intimate moments as well, when you learn something new about your spouse, that can be a beautiful thing, because only the two of you know about this and you're learning something new. And so they're showing the ways that you can piece it back together as well as what made it fall apart. And then ultimately, like every marriage, you have to decide over and over again to choose each other. And that's what they had to do. They had all these moments where they could have just decided to say, you know what, that's it, I'm out. And they didn't. or even worse, decide to kill each other. And they didn't. And I feel like all of these are kind of also a metaphor for things that you may feel in a real life marriage, as far as, like, you know, you don't literally mean that you want to kill each other, but sometimes you just drive each other crazy. So I think that that makes this movie so relatable. And if you just look at all of that separate from the spy part.
Yeah. You know, I think that you mentioned that at the top of the show, you know, the idea that we're able to have good thoughts on this. We're both married, and we've both been married for a while now. And I think, you know, there really are a lot of truisms in the film about what it takes to make a good marriage, and how one can easily fall apart. And I think one of the things that we really get a chance to see is that, you know, if you want a marriage to fall apart pretty quickly, live separate lives, don't do things together, really, and just become roommates, also hide a lot of things from one another. Basically, living a double life, or just outright lying to one another. Like, all of these are the things that, you know, will destroy a marriage very quickly. You know, and, you know, we kind of see that being the case here. And it affects every single part of their relationship, right? It affects the thing that Hollywood loves to focus on, which is just the physical side of their relationship, right? And it's detrimental to that. Then is affecting every other part of their relationship, right? But I think the beauty of this movie, too, is that what it actually kind of shows in a really right way is that when you're in a marriage and you are lying to each other, it's going to quickly die, you know? And I think the most interesting thing about this is that this movie shows that when you don't really know one another, and you're married, the things that, again, Hollywood loves to harp on and focus on, which is, you know, just your sex life, well, that's really going to crumble, and it's going to suck and be terrible if you don't actually know each other and aren't spending time with each other and really building into your relationship and one another and getting to know one another and love each other more because of the things that you know about each other. It's like that's the height of dysfunction, and that's why things don't last for people. And so, you know, again, I thought that was kind of surprising to have that revealed in a film in Hollywood, because, you know, it's just not really a thing that we like to talk about, because this is also a movie where the therapy exchanges are really important to the film. I think it also is a nice giveaway to the audience in many ways, that these people want their relationship to work,
mm-hmm.
even with the difficulty they have, or they wouldn't be in therapy. Like, you know?
Right, like they made the first step of being present and going to therapy together. Because if they didn't care, then they wouldn't even do that.
Right. Well, and exactly. And I think, too, it's just, and this is the hard thing, like, and, you know, again, being married and, you know, knowing the struggle of needing to be able to go to therapy to talk about things that you just don't know how to talk about, but we know need to be talked about. I think the beauty of this that I really liked was that it brings that to life, right? Sometimes we need somebody to help us figure out how to have conversations that we just don't know how to have.
Yeah.
But we want to be able to have them. And that's a really important thing, you know? it's okay too to be able to ask for help for somebody else to help you figure out how do we have these conversations with each other.
Right. Well, and even, you know, I think of all the times when you think to yourself, could I get a ruling here? Like, could we have a mediator or a judge to say who was right in this situation, or that nobody's right, you know, whatever. And so it's also good for that to have an unbiased third party to help facilitate things, and not just be he said, she said. And so I love that here with them, because it also even shows how not only men and women communicate differently, but just every man and woman is different. How the therapist asks, you know, how would you rate this out of a scale of 1 to 10? And he asks, is 1 the worst and 10 the best? And I think she even was like, or is it the other way around? And it's like, oh, I never even thought, you know, they might be thinking 2 completely different rating systems. He says 10 and she says 1, you know. So I liked that.
Well, yes. And again, I just think look, the movie itself is obviously tongue in cheek and very seriously and all of those type of things. But, you know, there really is an important point here that I hope that people won't miss, which is that, yes, if you want your marriage to last, one, you have to live life together. You mm-hmm. have to live it honestly together. And if you can't find the way to have the hard conversations together that you both know you need to have, asking for help from somebody who can give you the encouragement, give you the tools to be able to do that, it's great. Do it.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, I think that's just something that, again, as somebody who's been in that situation, I could not, you know, recommend it more. And I'm just glad that the movie, again, this movie is ridiculously tongue-in-cheek and it's silly. But I appreciated the way in which it really did have a lot of honesty to it. That this is actually, again, if you're in a dysfunctional relationship and you want to find ways to make it work, this movie actually helps show you how to be able to do that, in the sense of stop lying to one another, start telling each other the truth, and, you know, figure out a way to allow the truth to set you both free. You mm-hmm. know, you know, whether that means you go to therapy or whether that means you just find ways to be able to do the hard things, you know, do it.
Well, and I'll add to the other piece that I love is the nonverbal communication of this that people have probably experienced at some point in marriage as well, is the more things you don't talk about, the further the physically you get separated from each other as well, not just emotionally, but physically. And so that leads to that lack of that sex life, because you're not connecting emotionally anyway.
Yes.
So exactly. Then the other can't yep. happen.
Yes.
And so you see that 100%. Once they finally make up, that's when all mm-hmm. the other stuff happens again.
Yes. Yes. Well, and I think that's the real beauty. And I'm glad that you touched on that, because the truth of the matter is that a really good physical relationship with your spouse is one that is driven by emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, if you don't, if you're not working on your emotional side of your relationship, yes, that part is going to suffer. And people want it to be the other way around, but that's just not how it works. And so, I this movie does a great job, you know, showing the reality of that. And so mm-hmm. I did want to ask you, You know, this movie is directed by Doug Liman, who did The Bourne Identity. He would later do Edge of Tomorrow. He directed Swingers, which I love that film. It lets you know he enjoys playing with, like, the silly and the uncomfortable. And so what did you think of just the creation of the action in this movie? It's obviously a big action film. There's lots of action set pieces. And so how did all that work for you? And, you know, did, especially with a rewatch, did it all still work for you? Or, you know, were there parts where you're like, eh, I don't know if that really works for me anymore?
I think for the most part, it's good as far as the action goes. I think there are some things that are a little so outlandish that your suspension of disbelief is like, really, would these, you know, this agency be entirely women and they've got batarangs that come out from the roof and go to a Plan B building where they can escape real quick? But, you know, you kind of go along with it because it is like a spy slash assassin movie. But it seemed a little over the top. And then the one scene with the minivan where Angelina is supposedly driving and pulls a sharp U-turn, shoots the guys, and then turns back around and drives away. Those are a little bit harder for me to go along with. But overall, I think it's fun and even sometimes a little gritty. Like when I saw it was Liman directing, I thought, oh, yeah. It reminds me of Bourne a little bit when she smacks Adam Brody with the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Which is great.
That hurts me every time.
Yeah.
and then when Brad and Angelina are fighting in the house, there mm-hmm. are scenes where I'm like, I hope that was stunt doubles because that looked really painful.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, being smacked into a wall. So I thought that the fight scenes like those were excellent and felt so real.
Yes.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the action in the film, for the most part, really does still work. I think it's still really well done and it is fun too. You know, I think the only action sequence that I think there are parts with that didn't feel like they worked as well as others was the very final action sequence where they're having the big shootout. Yeah. And then there are scenes where it's not as well shot as others in the film. Like you were talking about the car sequence, you know, in the minivan and everything, and a lot of that still looks really good. But yeah, just some of the ways in which the slow motion was actually accentuating actions that didn't look great
mm-hmm.
per se was something that kind of stood out to me just, you know, rewatching this time. But otherwise, you know, like I think the action is still fun. You know, Liman absolutely understands how to direct action and I think make it look good. You know, he has a real gift for that. Obviously, the Bourne Identity very much reset what action movies were. I mean, mm-hmm. that movie changed how we thought of spy genre action films. The fight sequences in action films was irreparably changed forever in film because of that film. And so this guy knows what he's doing. Edge of Tomorrow, just rewatched that. And obviously that movie comes out after this one. But again, dude just knows how to move a camera and with the action sequences. So for the most part, I think, yes, everything here pretty much works. And so I wanted to ask you, too, how did you feel? Like that? We've mentioned the idea that this movie's kind of tongue-in-cheek. It's definitely over the top. And so, revisiting it, do you feel like the movie kind of knows what it is, it's exactly what it needs to be, and works? Or do you feel like it's over-the-topness kind of... takes you out of it at any point?
I think it fits exactly what it was meant to be. I think, you know, if it's your first time watching it, it takes a minute or two to realize what the vibe is that they're going for. But then after I've seen it a few times, I'm like thinking, okay, kind of along the lines of a get smart, but not as silly kind of thing. It works. I think, you know, it's just over the top enough where you still accept it. But you realize that it's not meant to be a Mission Impossible and be a serious film, you know. And then I think, again, having two actors that already exude so much charisma, and then together it was the right time in their careers to do this movie. Jolie had just a few years prior done Tomb Raider, where she really exploded as a well-known actress. And then Pitt had been known for a while. But this was also the point where they legitimately fell in love themselves. And although he was married at the time to Jennifer Aniston, later ended up divorced and married Jolie. So I think that you can see that real chemistry in the movie, in their characters. And so that's another reason I think it adds this layer that it just works when it couldn't any other way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the question of whether or not, you know, the movie is too over the top or anything, I think it's a question of, you know, does the tone of the film work? Is it consistent throughout the entire movie? You know, does it gear shift in a way that just doesn't make sense, you know? Or does it gear shift in a way that doesn't help the film? And I don't think that there ever is that problem. I think that the tone is clearly set from the beginning to the end of what this movie is going to be. And it finds a way to stick with that consistently. And even when the film allows there to be more poignant moments, it never takes you out of it. It always feels consistent with where the characters are, what's going on. And I think that's the thing that really makes this work, you know. And part of that is what we talked about. It's the director being able to make that sure that that's happening. It's the editor making sure that's happening. But I also think that it's just Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie clearly understanding what the mandate of this film is and what we're going for in it. And so that, you know, as we're shooting the movie, everybody has a clear expectation and understanding, like, this is what we're doing. This is where we're going. This is what we're reaching for on every take. We mm-hmm. want this kind of feel. We want this tone. And so they are able to give that to you. And so I think that this is one of those movies that just, again, it knows what it wants to be. And it's not trying to be anything else. You know, there's nothing mm-hmm. about this movie where it's like, we're trying to win an Oscar. Right. You know, and so it knows that that's not the type of film it is. And I think that's great. And so, yeah, I guess I'm really interested this too, because we, talking through this, we're not having a lot of issues with it or anything. We're not really bringing up a lot of problems. So it does really make me wonder where you land on your ratings for Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Well, I have to say it's incredibly rewatchable. And although I wouldn't say it's a perfect movie, I'd say it's really close, just because it's fun, it's rewatchable, it's got good action. And we didn't mention also the music. You and I were talking about a little bit before this, the needle drops in this movie with Air Supply I'm trying to think what else. Oh, there were several other songs. Anyway, there's some really good soundtrack songs in this, as well as just the score fitting well with this tone and everything that we're going for. So I ultimately give it a 4 out of 5. Not a girl gun. because I love that scene when he's like, really? And she's like, why do I get the girl gun? Because it's just such a fun ride. And like I said, I don't think it's perfect. I think that there's definitely some things that could be tweaked, but it knows what it is, to use your phrase. And I would go back and rewatch it a million times.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that you just mentioned is actually really key to this type of film, which is that it's enjoyably rewatchable. I mean, you can just sit down and have a great time watching it. And part of that, I think, comes down to the fact that, you know, we didn't even talk about the fact that, you know, Vince Vaughn's in this film is his partner in the movie, and the goofiness of that. But I mean, look, I think that this is a good movie. It's like you said, it's obviously not great. There are a few things to which I think could have been done slightly better, maybe. But on a whole, I also had a great time rewatching it. And I will probably sit down and watch it again at some point as well. And because of that, I mean, this is a great 3.5 out of 5, you know, almost shot my husband's with a shotgun rating. Because it really is something that I was kind of surprised rewatching. And again, I, you know, having been married as long as I have now, and watching the way in which this movie actually did celebrate marriage and what it takes to actually create a good marriage and work diligently on creating that, and intentionality behind that, and the fact that you can't do all of these things that so many people do, and actually expect a marriage to work. You got to be willing to sacrifice and be honest, and have hard conversations and all that. That stuff's great. So yeah, 3.5 out of 5 for me, and I'll look forward to rewatching these two try to kill each other, you know, in the next rewatch. So, but Christy, if people want to see what you're up to, where can they find you?
Well, of course, you can find me on Instagram and X at Bespin Bell, and in the Babel Conference sometimes too on Facebook. And I have a finished show that I did with my friends Amanda and Teresa called Sabers and Spells over on the Skywalking Through Neverland Network. And what about you?
Well, you can find me all over social media under the name Matt Rushing 02. Of course, here on the network, doing a bunch of shows about Star Trek. And so check all of those out. Don't worry, we do plan to be doing more episodes of those soon. It's just been a crazy time in life for both Chris and I. So bear with us. You can also find me over on the Nerd Party Network. Two different shows over there, one called Owl Post with Dre Kaufman, as we talked about every single chapter of the Harry Potter series, one chapter at a time. And you can also find me over on Aggressive Negotiations, talking Star Wars with John Mills each and every week. But thank you so much for joining us.
And y'all come back now, you hear?